Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Synaurus Pharmaceuticals Limited Q3 FY26 results call hosted by Ambit Capital Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gaurav Tinani from Ambit Capital Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ikra. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Ambit Capital, I would like to welcome you all to the Q3 FY26 earnings call for Synaurus Pharmaceuticals Limited. Joining us from the management today, we have Mr. Swapnil Shah, the Managing Director, Mr. Sanjay Majmudar, the Chairman, and Mr. Dewal Shah, the Chief Financial Officer. I thank the management for the opportunity to host this earnings call. Before we begin, I would like to point out that this conference call may contain some forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as of the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. We can now begin with opening remarks from Mr. Swapnil Shah, post which the forum will be open for an interactive question-and-answer session. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Shah.
Thank you, Gaurav. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Synaurus Pharmaceuticals Limited's Q3 and nine-month FY26 earnings conference call. We have uploaded the results, press release, and investor presentation on the stock exchanges and company's website. I hope everybody has had the opportunity to go through the same. Building on our established strategies, we have delivered a strong performance across segments for the quarter and nine months of FY26. Our nine-month results are in line with or slightly ahead of our annual guidance, and we remain confident of achieving our FY26 targets of 50% of top-line growth and 100% of PAT growth over FY25. Speaking about the segmental performance, revenue from regulated markets grew by 60% YOY in Q3 FY26 and by 71% in nine-month FY26, driven by product portfolio expansion, prudent selection of sales channels, and differentiated go-to-market strategies. Our ANDA portfolio continues to grow through in-house development and strategic acquisitions. As of December 2025, we are proud to have a portfolio of 46 approved ANDAs. These ANDAs collectively cover more than 137 ANDA product strengths. Over the last year, our portfolio of ANDA has nearly quadrupled, growing from 12 ANDAs as of December 2024 to 46 ANDAs as of December 2025. Apart from the existing portfolio of 18 ANDAs, which have already been launched, we have 28 approved ANDAs having 100-plus strengths available for launch and 22 more molecules involving 50-plus strengths under development. This provides a strong pipeline of products which are expected to be rolled out over next quarters. Our CDMO/CMO segment is also witnessing a steady traction and scaling up. Our portfolio now stands at 16 commercial products encompassing more than 55 strengths. The moat is our CDMO/CMO segment comes from being an end-to-end solution provider for customers, right from development to scale-up to exhibit batch to supply chain planning for commercial production, as well as complete regulatory support, including pre- and post-approvals. I'm pleased to share that we have completed acquisition of 75% stake in Apnar Pharma last week. The balance 25% is expected to be completed by Q2 of FY27. Given our strong growth momentum and product expansion across ANDAs and CDMO/CMO, we sought to diversify manufacturing geographically. The acquisition of Apnar Pharma, which is USFDA-approved facility and expansion-ready infrastructure, provides strong strategic benefits and positions us to sustain growth over the coming years. Apnar's facility is relatively new and already has many constructed clean rooms for quick expansion. In addition to the U.S., the plant is also approved by UKMHR and Health Canada. This immediately enables us to penetrate deeper in the regulated markets of UK and Canada, where we currently have very limited presence. In addition to market access, the acquisition also includes 5 approved ANDAs, which is expected to give at least $16 to $18 million in revenue in next 12 to 15 months. The addition of this USFD approved facility significantly enhances our manufacturing capability and flexibility. It will open opportunities to shift manufacturing of select products from US to India, where US-based manufacturing is optional. Diversified manufacturing enhances operational agility, supporting faster scale-up, quicker product launches, and sustained growth momentum. It also strengthens our ability to pursue a broader range of CDMO-CMO opportunities, leveraging cost advantages across both facilities. The regulated markets, our largest vertical, continues to deliver consistent growth driven by portfolio expansion, new customer additions, and deeper market penetration, supported by healthy pipeline and long-term CDMO-CMO contracts. We have clear visibility for sustained growth and profitability in years ahead. Furthermore, in line with our strategy to strengthen our presence in the U.S., we have set up Zoraya Pharmaceuticals, bolstering our operations and product development strengths in the U.S. Zoraya is equipped to manage the full life cycle of pharmaceutical commercialization, and this expansion would focus on direct distribution and marketing of some strategic products in the U.S. Moving to emerging market business, revenue for Q3 FY26 grew by 48% on YOY basis. As we had highlighted earlier, EBITDA margin has significantly improved towards mid-teens range now. We achieved our highest ever quarterly revenue, EBITDA and PAT in the emerging market business in Q3. Importantly, the business is now cash flow positive as well. During this quarter, we received approval of 56 new products, bringing our total portfolio of 450 registered products as of December 2025. Additionally, more than 850 products are currently under registration. A shift towards niche molecules and a refined go-to-market strategies is driving improvements across key metrics in emerging markets, including better pricing and margins. Overall, the emerging market business is demonstrating a steady momentum in both growth and profitability. We are also in the process of obtaining PICS approval for our Chatral manufacturing facility for emerging markets. This approval will enable us to expand our footprint in key mid-tier markets such as Vietnam, South Africa and others. Turning to India business, our branded generic business has continued to build on a strong momentum seen over last few quarters. Revenue for this quarter stood at about 10.5 crores, an increase of over 6x on YOY basis. For 9 months, the revenue from branded generics stood at about 31 crores, growing more than 7 times on a YOY basis. On a consolidated basis, we continue to remain a strong focus on cash flow generation, with operating cash flows demonstrating a steady upward trajectory. Despite robust business growth, our EBITDA to operating cash flow conversion has improved significantly over last year, reflecting enhanced operational efficiency, disciplined working capital management. Our cash flow performance has shown consistent and sustained improvement, and we remain confident of maintaining further strengthening this metric going forward. All in all, we have consistently delivered on our commitments in both revenue and profitability, underscoring the effectiveness of our strategy and execution. Our focus remains firmly on establishing business model across both regulated and emerging markets. We see a long and promising growth trajectory ahead for Sonoras and are well positioned to capitalize on the same. With our deep industry expertise and extensive experience, we are confident in our ability to continue driving sustained and profitable growth in the years to come. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Deval Shah, our Chief Finance Officer, to take you through the financial and operational performance. Thank you. Over to you, Mr. Deval.
Thank you, Sachin. A warm welcome to everyone on our Q3 and 9 months FY26 earnings call. I will take you through our financial and operational performance for the quarter and 9 months period ended December 2025. Starting with the quarter's performance, our consolidated income for Q3 FY26 stood at 175 crores, reflecting a strong growth of 64% on YoY basis. Growth was broad-based and driven by both regulated as well as the emerging market businesses. Revenue from regulated market grew by 60.5% YoY and came to 113 crores. This was driven by steady product portfolio expansion and scale-up of the CDMO-CMO segment. Revenue in the emerging markets grew by 47.5% YoY and came to 38 crores in Q3 of FY26. India branded generics business grew more than sixfold on YoY basis, with revenue for Q3 coming to 10.5 crores. Consolidated EBITDA for Q3 FY26 stood at 54 crores, growing by a robust 86% on YoY basis. EBITDA margin came to 30.9%, improving by 360 bps on YoY basis. Even on sequential basis, EBITDA margin has improved by about 30 bps. Profit after tax and minus interest for the quarter grew by around 85% YoY and came to approximately around 32 crores. Coming to the 9-month performance, the consolidated income for 9 months, FY 2026, stood at 474 crores, showing a strong growth of 65% YoY. This is driven largely by the regulated market business. Revenue from regulated markets for 9 months of FY 2026 stood at approximately 310 crores. Revenue from emerging markets grew by 17% YoY and came to 99 crores. Revenue from India branded generics business grew by more than 7 times, so stood at 31 crores for 9 months. EBITDA for 9 months FY26 stood at 138 crores, growing by a whopping 87% on YoY basis. EBITDA margin improved by 340 bps on a YoY and stood at 29%. Profit after tax and minority interest for 9 months FY26 stood at 84 crores, more than doubling on a YoY basis. PAT margins for 9 months of FY26 stood at 17.7% compared to 14.2% for the corresponding period of last year. This is an increase of 350 bps. As Mr. Sopti has highlighted, we are maintaining a strong focus on cash flow generation. Operating cash flow for 9 months for FY26 stands at around 51 crores, showing a significant improvement over last year. To summarize, we have witnessed a strong performance across segments during the quarter and for the 9 months for the current year. We are well positioned to continue this momentum and confident of delivering sustained profitable growth going forward. With this, I would like to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pal Balar from Three Netra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So I just wanted to know that after doing the Apar Pharmaceutical Limited's acquisition, how much margins expansion we can expect from it? So what kind of synergies we will get in terms of, if you could quantify that? So this was my question.
Yes, hi, this is Swapnil. So currently the contribution from Apnar will be, as stated, you know, we are expecting about 120 to 150 crore kind of a revenue from Apnar in FY27 as we speak. Also, we've stated that this quarter itself will be cash flow positive from Apnar facility, as 3 products are already going to be launched within this quarter from the facility, from that particular facility. It is very early to say what kind of margin expansion that will happen from Apnar as we speak. However, we see margins expanding in when we reach that optimal number of utilization of that facility. And being on both the geography, I think a lot of synergies can also be created between both manufacturing locations. So that's what we feel Dapnar will add value to us.
And secondly, if I see regulated market, emerging market, API and branded generic, so going forward, how much revenue contribution we can get from these four business verticals?
So on the branded generics side of the business, we feel that we should be able to conclude this year between 40-50 crores, and then next year could be another 80+ crores is what we are projecting on the branded generic side. On emerging market side of the business, we feel we should be able to do about 170-180 crores, the revenue next year. And API side is just a small contributor. I think we don't beyond a point focus on the revenue because it's a strategic play for us, largely for backward integration and some strategic products that we want to backward integrate. So that's the API vertical for us.
So going forward, we will mainly focus, I mean, in terms of revenue contribution, we will have a large number of revenue from regulated market, right?
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from AlfAccurate Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats for a strong set of numbers, sir. Sir, my first question on the regulated market side. So in the last 9 months, how has the revenue mix evolved in terms of the own ANDA products sourced and the CDMO and/or CMO business?
Yes. Hi, Abhishek. So on a regulated market, we have two verticals, as you know, our own products and the CDMO/CMO. The mix today on the split is largely about 55% on our own product and about 45% on the CDMO/CMO side of the business. And we feel probably full year, we'll have about 60% of our own product and about a 40% on the CDMO/CMO side when we conclude this year. For the next year, we feel more or less this mix will continue. Maybe our own product, we may be able to get about 65%, and CDMO/CMO's contribution could be 35%, largely because with the Dapnar acquisition, a lot of our own products will be also giving us a much, much better realization as we speak.
Got it. And sir, how is the gross margin difference in own products and the CDMO business? How much is the difference?
CDMO/CMO is slightly lower than our own products. I'd say 4%-5% or 5%-6% lower than the own products. But overall margins, gross margins are lower than EBITDA margins are at 40% for the U.S. regulated business.
So in the coming quarter, we would be able to sustain the margin of 40%+ in this segment?
Yes. I think we should be able to sustain or even improve upon by 1% or so. With our own products, more and more own products coming in, these own products always have a better margin for us.
Understood. And sir, in emerging market, we have seen a very strong jump in EBITDA margin in this quarter. So just wanted to understand what is the reason. Is it because of the change in revenue mix, or is it because of that operating leverage benefit?
Yes, Abhishek. So in emerging market, if you would have last call also, we said there were some products which we got approval for, but we could not generate the commercialization in last quarter. I think a lot of those commercialization have happened over this quarter, like quarter ended in December. And that commercialization will continue. As you know, we got 56 product approval just in last quarter. So those commercialization of all 56 will happen, or at least large part of 56 will happen in coming quarter. So we feel the growth trajectory also on the emerging market should continue. And our per unit metrics has also significantly improved. So we are at about close to 2 rupees per unit today as we speak. on our emerging market manufacturing, which we feel will continue to drive up as the product mix will continue to change as we get more approvals and we commercialize more products in different markets as we speak.
Got it. And sir, in emerging market, how is the current revenue mix between distributor-led models, P2P and on-brand?
It's difficult to give that exact number, but it is well-balanced, as I can say. With the distributor-led direct export businesses continue to see significant uptick over last 3 to 4 quarters, which will further grow. So revenue mix from an export-based, dollar-based revenue will continue to expand from where we are today into next 4 to 6 quarters, because all the registrations that we are talking about today, which are, we have 450 and there are 800 plus is going to come in, they are for direct exports. So our dollar revenue realization will significantly be increasing in next 4 to 6 quarters.
Got it, sir. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Maitri Seth from Choice Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on great set of numbers. Just one question. What sort of margin, EBITDA margin, are we looking at for
FY26? FY26, I think we already are at 29%. So we should be a percentage more or around 30% anyhow. By end of the year.
Okay. Blended total.
Blended total.
Blended total. And can we assume 100 bits growth in FY27, or would Apnar see an increase of expenses and we'll see 30%?
It's difficult to quantify exactly, but there will be definitely a decent growth. As we move into the fourth quarter and then as we start Apnar, we'll be able to guide you better.
Okay. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kashish Thakur from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the good set of number. Sir, two questions from my end. First, just wanted to know what has been our organic growth, broadly just speaking about our own products, not including the acquired ANDA. Just asking about the own products, what has been that kind of organic growth in this quarter? And secondly, what has been the contribution from the controlled substance in the quarter?
Hi, Kashish, thank you. So as you know, we got a we had a good product approval of Deferiprone in November end. So Deferiprone was launched in this quarter. That was an organic development that got approved. We launched it with Dr. Reddy's as we speak, which is a public information. As we move forward, every quarter we have one or probably two launches, organic launches of a new product development that we have done. So that will significantly also drive our growth forward. As you know, we currently have about 22 products that are under development. Like, some of them are already filed, some of them are at exhibit stage, some of them are at different stage of R&D, which will continue to give that growth in next 6 to 8 quarters for us of those 22. So it will continue a trajectory. Coming to controlled substance, right now that's not been quantified in terms of what is the controlled substance contribution, largely speaking, but controlled substance has been about a 15-20% overall revenue that comes out of controlled substance, which we feel will continue, depending upon the quarter, depending upon the product launches. We have about 2 controlled substance product launches in next year, in the sense current FY27 year. So I think that will further grow our controlled substance revenue mix as well.
I think understood. Thank you, sir. The personalization will now actually take traction.
Understood, sir. Thank you, sir. So just one last question. Just wanted to know about the margins. So I think, sir, you had highlighted that our own products margin is a bit higher as compared to CDMO products, right? And I think so we quantify controlled substance in CDMO. So is the control substance margin higher as compared to blended average of CDMO, or how is it?
So, you know, on the CDMO, CMO side of the business, as you are aware, you know, our margins are fixed, right? So product could be significantly bigger or significantly smaller. We have our set margins and set rolling plans that we manufacture based on our customers' guidance, right? So depending upon what opportunity that we are taking up, our margins are more or less fixed. What happens is on our own product and the required portfolio coming in, there's a significant launch plan over the next 6 to 8 quarters that we have, which we have said at least 3 to 4, at least sometimes even a 5 per quarter. That are the kind of launches that we have in the next 6 to 8 quarters. So if you look at the growth plan, it's those portfolio launches is significantly going to drive our growth. It's from a margin standpoint, again, as Deval Bhai said, our own product gives us a better margin profile. Multiple reasons, right? It goes into various channels. There's a government play that happens. There is a cross-distribution to different distribution channels. So that kind of significantly gives us that slightly better margin profile.
Just to add, Kashish, I think we also have certain products in our own product portfolio which are controlled substance. So there the margins are bound to be higher, to answer your question.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much. All the best for your future quarters. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishita from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, sir. So you've mentioned FY26 top-line guidance, growth guidance of 50%. But if we look at our quarterly revenue run rate, we are doing much better than that. So, are you going to revise your guidance, or do you stick to the 50% guidance? Because, we see a much better growth than that.
Thank you. Thank you, Nishita. Right now, Nishita, I would suggest we expect our growth trajectory to likely to remain same, at least for next few quarters as we speak. You know, and I think that's what.
Just to add, you are right. FY26, we have guided very specifically about the top line and bottom line growth. We are on track in terms of top line. We are in fact slightly better in terms of bottom line, and this 9 months results, you can extrapolate. Generally our Q4 is equally or a little stronger than Q3 in general. So yes, we are bettering our profitability guidance of this year by a few marginally better, but it's always better as a management to remain a bit conservative.
Okay. Understood. Yes, that is it from us. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ravi Shah from VRS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first of all, congratulations on a strong performance. My question is relating to our product portfolio. So there has been some change in the way we have disclosed our product portfolio this quarter. Just wanted to understand a little bit more on that. So how should we look at our pipeline going forward? And should one focus more on the number of ANDAs, or is it the strength we should look at? Which is a better metric to understand the business?
Yes, hi, Ravi. So earlier, so far, we have always maintained as ANDA products, which are individual strengths, as our ANDA products. So that has been changed from a previous quarter to this year, where we are disclosing both like ANDA numbers as well as individual ANDA products in form of strengths. You can look at us on both the trajectory. The reason behind that is individual strength has its individual business potential. Not necessarily all strengths work. Some strengths have a large government business. Some strengths are heavy on the pediatric side of the business. Likewise, each strand demonstrates a different distribution model and distribution margin profile and distribution a different goal for us. So largely, I would say both the parameter numbers are very important to measure strengths, which are ANDA products, as well as individual ANDA numbers.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much. And I have one last question, sir. You have 22 ANDAs under development and 28 approved ones that are to be launched. In how many quarters do you expect to launch all these products? Also, what can be the reasonable number in terms of product launches on an annual basis over the next 3-4 years time frame?
So, we feel all the 28 that are approved yet to be launched will be launched within next 6-8 quarters. And out of 22, we feel at least we will should be able to launch 10 products in next 6-8 quarters. I think that's the visible visibility that we have today.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prince Chaudhary from Pink Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, I want to understand what sorts of products are part of purchase or stocking rate, and there is a lot of fluctuation. Like last quarter it was 11 crore and this quarter it is 37 crore. So, how we should look at that?
Can you come again?
Stock in trade,
what is it?
Sir, I want to understand what sorts of products are part of purchase of stock in trade. And also there is a lot of volatility, you know, with significant difference sequentially from 11 crore to 37 crore. So how we should look at that?
So we have started CMO exercise for our own products in India. So those goes with the purchase of the intro. So getting manufactured outside earlier, we are not doing it.
Oh, okay. Product, yeah.
So we are getting it done at 3 locations in India, and now Apnar will be the additional location.
So these are part of our own subsidiary, sir. So whatever we purchase from a manufacturing facility, that is a part of this one, purchase of stock in trade.
It includes that also, but it also includes from outsiders. These are the
What is the percentage contribution of outsiders?
Percentage?
Contribution.
So this is what you are seeing is outsiders, because internal gets knocked off when they consolidate the figures.
So this is more of an outsourced.
Yes.
This is actually an outsourced production,
yes,
which technically is reported as purchase of stock in trade.
Yes.
Okay. Understood, sir. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Pujan Shah from Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. My first question pertains to, so we are guiding about 50% growth and we will be going to achieve that in FY26. So considering the FY27, are we expecting shy to 1000 crore mark revenue, because considering the consolidation of Apnar, which can contribute to 120-150 crores, and on our base business we can grow up to 30-35%. Can we expect a 1000 crore revenue mark with an EBITDA margin of 30%, because in next year also we will get the backward integration facility of API that will meaningfully contribute to our expanding our EBITDA margins. So are we assuming you in a correct phase, or am I missing something?
Pujan, you know our company more than what we know our company. So no, thank you for your feedback and your acknowledgement on our efforts that we've been able to grow at such a pace and will continue to grow. I think right now I would not say anything about 1000 crore or 30% or 32% kind of a number. I think what I feel is there's a strong pipeline of products that are scheduled for launch. As I said, 28 ANDAs are scheduled for launch with another 22 out of 22. Good part of chunk will be launched on our own products. That's on the regulated market. Under CDMO, CMO also we have significant launch plans that you have already seen. On emerging market also you saw 56 product registration came in last quarter, which will get commercialized in this quarter and will get a full year next year. Our branded generics India is also witnessing a pretty high growth numbers. So all in all, if you look at all metrics, it all points out to a robust growth. Giving a specific number right now, I think it's a little premature. You know, let us get Apnar up and running, you know, get that goals achieved within this quarter as we speak. And I think probably when we disclose our full year result, I think we'll specific numbers we should be able to guide. But all your pointers are also what we think, right? And as I said, you know our company better than us. So, no, we are going towards, we are a hardworking bunch. We continue to work hard for the higher growth numbers.
So, Pujan, just to add, whatever internal thought processes that we are evolving, Apnar's plan, there would be some shifting of production as well of relatively low-cost products from US to India. So it is not 1 plus 1 equal to 2. You get my point. So yes, 25% plus growth target, what we indicated on the second quarter call is the minimum on which we are working. It can be better. Give us one more quarter and we'll be able to give you a little more clearer answer to that.
Sure, sir. Thanks for the detailed explanation. My second question pertains to the emerging market. So, are we expecting the similar kind of EBITDA margins as we have been transitioning the business from being a negative EBITDA margin to flat, and then we have performed way better? So, just wanted to understand the dynamics right now. Should we consider the similar kind of margins should be expected in FY27?
Yes, so we feel our margin profile on emerging market, what we've seen in Q3, will further improve in Q4. And for the full year, what we see today as a consolidated, which should get better further. So, yeah, your observation is correct. I think we are going towards better EBITDA profile in emerging market as we speak.
And the last bookkeeping question, sir. So, Swapnil, sir, I have been looking at our con-call history as well and was trying to understand our revenue recognition model. So, could you just help me a brief stating about how we recognize our model in terms of sales? Because what I am being understood is that whenever we try to launch a product, we get a one-time fee, and then ultimately licensing fee, and then eventually it will be a partnership model for the our own product model. And in terms of government, we get a CDMO basis. Obviously, we don't have a direct reach to the government, but ultimately with a partnership, we have a direct reach to the government for the controlled substances as well. So we directly recognize our fee and profit sharing from our partners who sells the product. Is that a correct understanding or am I missing something?
No, so Pujan, it's correct and everything is contractual, right? So both on our own products as well as CDMO, CMO, these are all the revenues that you've just mentioned, each stream of the revenue. We are part of our contract, the contractual obligation with our partner. So your understanding is largely correct on that side.
Okay, got it, sir. And is there anything historically happened that we have any disagreement or any failure of contract which has impacted our inventory or any write-off has been happened in the past, or it never happens is the case?
So, Pujan, we only manufacture based on a confirmed purchase order that we get from our partners. And our manufacturing capacities are pre-sold. So our finished goods inventory that we carry is very less, like in terms of maybe max 15 days in terms of FG inventory that we carry. So if you look at it, so far we've never had an issue of any inventory write-off because anything that we make is already pre-sold based on the purchase orders that we get from our partners. So that has not happened with us. We will not make it if there is no confirmed order, right? So there is no question of inventory write-off whatsoever.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you for explaining each question very well. Best of luck for the upcoming quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Viraj Shah from Shah Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations. So recently, just wanted to understand the other expense and depreciation line items for Q3 for this quarter. There's a good enough of decline in the other expense compared to the last quarter, that is Q2 FY26. Also, depreciation has come down significantly from the last quarter at a time when we are expanding manufacturing capacity at the US plant. So just wanted to understand these two line items from your side.
Yes. Hi, Viraj. So, first coming to the other expenses, I think other expenses are function of the consolidation thing, and we have rationalized certain expenditure in the coming in the current quarter. So there is a slight fall in other expenses to 22 crores. You see 22.9 crores. Right. So there is no specific reason, but we are controlling the expenses in a better way. We also put up solar plant in our facility, which has saved us the energy. We have gone for certain automations, which have saved us some labor cost. So this is addition of so many measures what we have taken.
Okay, understood. So recently there was some pledge of shares on the promoter side. I just wanted to understand the reason for the same. Also, any broad timeline when we expect this pledge to go?
So Viraj, there was a small pledge that happened that was largely to consolidate some of the borrowings, and it's not likely to go up any pledging whatsoever.
Okay, understood, sir. And also, given that you have the proceeds from IPO still there, the company is now getting steady cash flow, operating cash flow in the. In that background, I just wanted to understand the rationale behind the insurance of the warrant, which was there for the promoter group recently.
Yeah. So now if you see, out of my IP proceeds, we have specific about 100 crores earmarked for our Atlanta facility, which we can't touch. On the GCP side, we have now a very little amount. As you see, as of 31st December, even after that, we had just about 25 crores, and then we had done this Apnar acquisition in the current quarter, which further reduces. Going by the growth trajectory, we worked out a situation where maybe about 75 to 100 crores could be an additional infusion required over next 12 months partly for new product acquisitions in terms of Vandas or primarily for working capital margin. So with this, we thought that it is too small an amount to really go out and reach the market, and then so therefore we thought of this structure as a warrant structure where 25% can be contributed now, and as and when it is required, promoters can contribute the balance amount over next maybe 6 to 12 months. That was the basic logic.
Okay, I understood, sir. So all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Forum Parekh from Bank of Baroda Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on the good set of numbers. My first question is, could you please tell us about the acquired ANDAs? Like, we have good 18-20 acquired ANDAs. So how many ANDAs have we launched, if at all? And by when do we intend to start commercializing? And the count on a quarterly basis, on an average?
Yes, hi, Forum. So we've launched about four ANDAs from the acquisition portfolio, as you see. And as I said, we have another 28 products that are approved that are yet to be launched, which are also part of our acquisition portfolio, which will be launched in next 6 to 8 quarters, as we've stated before. So the launch will continue. Also, some of those products we are also launching in government business, not just the other retail or anything. So a lot of the government side of the business out of that acquisition will also happen, and it is already happening. Out of four, I think three we have already launched in the government as we speak. So that will continue to grow on that side.
Okay, and could you tell us on the margins front, I know this quarter margins have fallen from like 44% to 40, but with so many product launches, do you see this visibility of surpassing the peak EBITDA margin of 44% with so many product launches?
Forum, I think last quarter also we said that this 44% was a one-off, I think due to some product mix and other mix of income, but sustainable margin, what we see, gross margin or EBITDA margin for the U.S. business is around 40%. Going forward, it may improve by a percentage or so. But long term, what we see is around 40%.
Okay. And same, likewise in the emerging markets also, like this quarter we have done good, but we also have good 56 products, to be launched. So with this 13%, what could be the peak margin, you know, we can anticipate on the emerging market front?
Yeah, so what we've said is we expect EBITDA margin on emerging market to be upwards to close to 20%.
At the peak.
Not necessary that will happen next quarter. What we see next quarter is definitely being better than this quarter in terms of margin profile. And full year, if you look at it from a previous year, it is going to be significantly, very significantly better. From next
year, FY27.
So next year, FY27, we feel that margin, when we get to about 18-22% kind of a number, should stabilize, and then maybe another 3-4 quarters, it should improve further couple of basis points. So we feel that trajectory we already have started, which will continue to get better as next quarters come in.
Sure, that's helpful. Thirdly, could you please tell us on the CAPEX front, like our Atlanta oral solid facility, I mean, we have 1 billion tablets and we intend to expand to 2 billion tablets. So like by when can we expect, you know, this expansion to be completed? Any light on that front?
So that capacity expansion, I think is likely to be done by next year. Now, since we already have Apnar in our fold, so we already have an extended capacity in directly now. So next year we'll see an expand the capacity there.
What we are doing structurally is we are, as Sanjay just mentioned, there are a lot of there are some low margin products that doesn't require or that's optional for US manufacturing. Might be moving to India at Apnar, so that opens up my capacity for the US, so that can be utilized for a higher margin business. So overall, if you look at scheme of things on both the sides, we get facility utilized, utilization opens up for a higher margin, and those products are being made at India side. So put all these things together, I think we are already at about a 2 billion manufacturing unit capacity, which further will grow next year as we put in more capacities. But we are watching it carefully quarter over quarter, month over month, in terms of what is the utilization levels, how swiftly we are able to transition our products from US to India, how the margin profile happens for India. So we are keeping very close watch on those metrics as we speak.
Okay, that's also very helpful. And my last question is, it's a little broad sense. So we are seeing 100% PAT growth since 2 years in a row. And with so many levers, you know, with Apnar and new product launches, both on the developed and the acquired side, and expanded capacity. So do we expect, I know it's a little premature, but can we have visibility of recording 100% growth at the bottom line in FY27 as well?
Forum, we wish that your words will come true, but as we said very cautiously, please give us some more time to work out how exactly the next year is going to pan out. You see, from last year to this year, 100% growth was also due to a relatively lower base effect. Now, once I'm at 650 crores and maybe 100 plus crore kind of a PAT this year, 105, 110, 115, whatever it comes, to expect that 100% to, you know, it's a little asking too much, but I would say a very decent top line growth and a slightly better bottom line growth is what we are targeting. You get my point?
Yeah, sure. No problem. That's helpful. And all the best for the next quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for it.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Maitri Seth from Choice Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. Just a few questions. One is on the CAPEX front. If you can quantify how much CAPEX spend we are expecting for the next 2 to 3 years.
So CAPEX 2 to 3 years, I think, should be around 50 crores to 100 crores in between, depending on the requirement. The earlier we are planning a CAPEX in US, but since we have got Apnar now, so that may be.
So this is the sort of
the fixed capital asset. This is
annual kind of a run rate. Yeah.
Okay. And second is on the receivable and payable days. If you can help us understand how much receivable and payable days are we seeing currently?
I think net versus capital, my cycle is around 90 days, 94 days.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Thank you and over to the management.
Thank you. I would like to once again thank everyone for joining our earnings call. We will keep updating the investor community on regular basis of the developments at Sonoris. I hope we've been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with us directly or through our investor relations partner. Thank you very much.
Thank you and have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you all. On behalf of Ambit Capital Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us today and you may now disconnect your lines.